Hey, this is Sharan Srivatsan. Welcome back to the Business School Podcast. And in this episode, I'm going to share a theme with you that can completely transform your life forever. And that is, what if failure was not an option? Imagine that. What if failure was not an option? Now, I know it's a very ethereal phrase that you can kind of throw around. And a lot of like gurus from Sage will say, oh yeah, failure is not an option. But how do you actually take the theme of failure not being an option and implement it into your life? Is there an implementation mechanism to ensure that you can get whatever you want in life by knowing that failure is not an option? I break down the step-by-step strategies on how you can ensure that failure is not an option in that thing which you hold so dear and true, and I break it all down for you starting right now.
One thing is for certain. Just because it's tried and true doesn't mean it's working right now. So the big question is this: where can you learn what is working right now? The strategies, the tactics, the psychology, and the exact how to grow your business, how to blow up your personal brand and supercharge your personal growth. That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Sharan Srivatsa, and welcome to Business School.
I have a big heart for folks that serve in the military. It's the idea maybe in law enforcement, military, in the service profession where you are willing to put yourself in harm's way, to lay down your life in many ways, to believe and support in the safety of a much bigger purpose is truly inspiring to me. In fact, over the last many years, I've had a chance to advise several key tier one operators in the United States Navy. And one of those is my good friend, Mr. William Branham. William taught me something which is the purpose and the foundation of this episode, and he calls it the idea of failure is not an option. Williams told me that several times he's had missions while he was as a U.S. Navy SEAL where it was called failure is not an option, where he would get a call from the highest of high ranks, and after they described the mission in a lot of ways, the framing statement was failure is not an option. Think about the power of that, where you can say failure is not an option. And for somebody on the other side to say yes, like Williams that says yes and can rally his team to go do what needs to get done, and you can say failure is not an option, is not just scary but inspiring in so many different ways. I wish I could stand in front of a tennis team that I coach or a soccer team that my son plays on and say failure is not an option. Think about the power of that. And in today's episode, I want to break down for you 7 key ways to think about this idea of how failure is not an option. One thing I've realized is that it's got nothing to do with the one thing. Like, not all of us are wired to be, you know, Navy SEALs. There is no way you want me to be a Navy SEAL, right? But most importantly, there are some parts of this that we can learn from. And one of these 7 things that I share with you could really change your life and help you think through how you can actually embody this idea of failure is not an option. Because if you actually had something in your life where you knew that failure was not an option, how would it change your life? If you knew that you wanted to make $10 million and failure was not an option, would you be able to do it? I think so. If you knew that you had to get in extreme physical shape to achieve something great, would you do it? Yeah, I think so. If you knew that you had to take care of your children and failure was not an option, would you be able to get it done? I think so. Remember that failure is not an option is just a philosophical construct, but how do we actually bring it to life? And that's exactly what I'm going to talk to you about today. So the first piece of this puzzle is singularity of focus. Now, it's very hard for us because we've never actually known this idea of singularity of focus. And the idea of singularity of focus is, how do you burn the boats? I'll give you a simple example that I'm going through right now with my son. My son Neil is 12 years old, and he's a really good athlete, and he twisted his ankle. And his singularity of focus right now, there's nothing on his mind, absolutely nothing on his mind, except healing that ankle. Everything has got to do with healing that ankle. He's watching videos to figure out how to reduce inflammation. He's trying to read on how he could actually get more mobility. He's trying to ice 97 times a day and elevate it and massage it out, and has me working on his mobility all so that he can get his ankle healed, because he realizes that if he doesn't take this highest level of responsibility to get him the singularity of focus that is deserved to heal that ankle, things start to break down. right? I remember, call it 10 plus years ago, I'll give you a different example, where I realized that I didn't know how else to reach more people unless I grew an email list. I actually love the idea of writing email, having the interaction, writing a one-to-one thing, because I love email, because email is a personal distribution system. Social media is a public distribution system, right? Everybody sees everything that you write, and you're up in the middle of the scroll of everyone else's stuff. But whereas on email, for me, I knew that I would send one email to you, and you get to read it, you get to look at my stuff, read my stuff, reply to my stuff, and we can actually have a conversation. So I had the singularity of focus of building this email list, email community, where I had a great relationship with my with the people that I love and care about, right? And so that little thing started with 5 people, 10 people, went to tens of thousands of people. Now it's over 100,000 people. The power of that is that there was a singularity of focus around it. In fact, I'll give you a crazy story. I actually waived speaking fees in multiple keynotes just so I could allow for the organizers to just give me the email subscriber, just give me the registration list of the people that actually came to the event. So I probably left, I don't know, millions of dollars on the table in speaking fees when I was starting out, because I just thought that it was more important for me to have the singularity of focus of building this email list. And today, there's a bigger version of this where, as I'm recording this episode, I'm 14 months into my role of running Real. And so in my role, when I started at Real, we are currently the fastest growing publicly traded real estate brokerage in the world. And when I started, we roughly had about 5,000 agents in North America. And in the last 13 months, we've gone from 5,000 to 15, 16,000 agents. And my singularity of focus has been, how do we create an environment where we philosophically can attract and create a home for real estate agents at Real who have a great home, who have great culture, who have a great sense of belonging, who can do amazing things, because nothing else was on my mind than to help and welcome great people into our community. Singularity of focus allows you to actually embody the idea that failure is absolutely not an option, right? That's number one. So my question for you is there something in your life that you really want to accomplish that's been dragging on your to-do list, that's been dragging on a year-to-year goals, where you've said, hey, I'm going to lose some weight, I'm going to make more money, I'm going to better my relationships, I'm going to learn how to do X, I'm going to learn how to do Y, I'm going to buy a lake house, what have you, and you've not gotten to do it. And a lot of that is because it is one out of many things. Can you make it that one thing? If there was only one thing in 2024, when I'm recording this podcast, that you could achieve, if there's only one thing that you could achieve and you achieve nothing else this year, and you would be super happy that you achieved that thing, what is that one thing? Because the cost of your new life is your old one, right? And so instead of having the multi foci, which is a plural of focus, what can be the singularity of focus? So that's number one. Here's number two. To have singularity of focus, you have to do something, and that is to intentionally remove distractions. And how do we intentionally remove distractions? When we say we're focused on this one thing, we are automatically saying no to something else. That is opportunity cost. We're saying the opportunity cost of us doing all these other things is not worth it, because this one thing that we want is so much more better, is so much more impactful, is so much more unique to us and who we are, and we have to do that very thing. And that is really, really important if you think about it, right? So how do we intentionally remove distractions? And I want to give you a couple of ways. First way is, I often talk about this idea of a not to-do list. A lot of times people will say, hey, put that on your to-do list. I always like saying, can my not to-do list be significantly bigger, longer than my to-do list? Because the more things that I put on my not to-do list, I'm giving myself permission not to do those things. And that is really, really powerful, right? So the first thing is, do you have a not to-do list? Can you just say, hey, I'm not going to do that thing ever again. I'm not going to drink alcohol again. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes again. I'm not going to associate with that person again. I'm not going to send an email angry ever again. I'm not going to hit snooze again. All what you're doing is you're drawing a line in the sand and saying, hey, I'm not going to do those things anymore, right? Which is really important. So then one way to intentionally remove distractions is to have a not to-do list. The second way is to think about a now and not now. There's a lot of projects that hit my desk, and I think about it and I say, well, okay, I think project X is valuable, and I just make a decision whether it's a now project or a not now project. I'll give you an example. Last year, there was an idea to, you know, spend more time making more YouTube videos. Now, I'm giving you a really basic kind of relatable example, but the team was like, hey, Sharon, we are making 50 new unique pieces of content a week. You're writing emails We're doing LinkedIn, we're doing TikTok, we're doing Instagram, we're making podcasts, you're on the road, you're doing teaching and training. There's no way we have the capability to learn and actually implement a YouTube strategy this year. So I knew it was important. It was not on my not-to-do list. Now I choose between, is it a now project or a not-now project? That's it. So a lot of times when a good thing comes about, you don't have to say no, you can say not now. And many things in our lives are just now and not now projects. And so I have a little list in my, in a kind of little folder in my to-do list manager, and I call it not now. And not now just allows me to say that is a good idea. I think it has a place in my life, but I just don't have the capability or the bandwidth or the commitment to do it right now, because the more things I say yes to now, the harder it is for me to implement this failure is not an option strategy, right? That's number two. And number three is I call this the guaranteed to fail list. So imagine this idea. The idea here is, what can you do that if you did those things, you are guaranteed to fail? I know it sounds weird and strange, but I mean this with a lot of respect. What are the things that you can do that if you did that, you are guaranteed to fail? Like, imagine that for a second. So let's say I wanted to, I'll use a simple example, right? Let's say I wanted to lose some weight. I make a list of the things that I know that if I did those things, I was guaranteed to never lose any weight. That is really crazy, right? So let's say I say, all right, I'm going to not wake up. I'm not going to sleep well. I'm going to watch movies late into the night. I'm going to eat whatever I eat. I'm going to not watch my caloric intake. I'm going to not exercise. I'm going to take on a lot of stress. I'm going to beat my body up with drugs. I'm going to have a lot of junky food in the house. And I am going to hang out with friends who don't inspire me to be better myself. Well, all of those are recipes for guaranteed failure, right? The guaranteed to fail list. I look at my guaranteed to fail list and I say, okay, if this is the guaranteed to fail list, I just have to make sure that I don't do any of these things. Because if I don't do any of those things, I'm almost guaranteed to succeed. So a lot of times I write myself a plan on how I can be guaranteed to fail. And if I can write myself a plan on how I can be guaranteed to fail and just not do that thing, then I know I put myself in insane odds of success. A lot of times people try to write a plan on how they're guaranteed to succeed. I just do the opposite of writing a plan on how I'm guaranteed to fail. That is how you intentionally remove distractions. Number one, with the not-to-do list. Number two, now idea. Number three, with the guaranteed to fail inverse strategy, right? Here's number four, the support system and accountability group overall. And most people don't realize the power of this, but if you don't have a support system, then it is very difficult to do good work, because emotionally, we are human beings that need to be, we're pack animals, that we need to talk to people about the things that we're thinking, feeling, etc. And the power in all of this is, I want to give you like an insane quote that I read recently that just like totally blew my mind. And the quote went something like this: the degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth that they can accept about themselves without running away. Say it again. If you're not listening, just pause and re-listen to this, refocus. The degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth that they can accept about themselves without running away. But who is going to shine this truth on you? Who's going to shine the spotlight on the truth? I always think about two groups of people. Group of people number one is, who can you talk to freely without judgment? I often talk about my friends, advisors, and money coaches, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray at Wealth Without Wall Street. They've been an amazing sounding board and core advisors in my life, because I know that when you're a level five relationships and you talk about money, you can talk about anything. So I remember this past week, I was going through something really difficult, and I sent a message to Russ and Joey, and I had a chance to kind of talk to them about how I was feeling without any judgment related to that thing. And so if you don't have somebody that you can talk so freely with, that they don't judge you, but they know, but you can actually be the honest person that you are, you get to grow. And that is what a support system is all about. A lot of times we're walking around with 99% of our lives with a mask. And in fact, most of us are not even honest with our spouses and our partners. So how in the world do we expect ourselves to grow? And if you think about the quote that I kind of just shared, which was, the degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth that they can accept about themselves without running away. The degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth that they can accept about themselves without running away. And so if you don't have a support system, it is very, very difficult. And there's two parts of a support system. Support system, part number one, is who can you talk freely with where you have no judgment? But number two, who do you respect so much that if you don't do that thing, you're going to let down, right? A lot of people talk about accountability with me, and I think that there's a lot of people that I've paid accountability for. I can pay to show up at a gym and have a personal trainer, but if I don't show up at the gym at 5 a.m., he's going to take my money for the session, but I don't feel bad that I let him down. But instead, if I'm mentoring somebody and they promised me that they were going to get their business plan done in 3 days and they don't get it down, they're going to let me down. Right? The same as if I told one of my mentors, hey, I will get all of these three things done. Thank you for your advice. And I don't do those things. It's not that I didn't do those things. I'm letting that person down. And accountability is about making sure that if you don't do the thing that you said you did, you're going to let that person down. That, and not from a guilt perspective, but from a responsibility perspective. You don't want guilt-based energy in your stuff. You want responsibility, because responsibility is the spirit that drives the world. Right? So number four, support system and accountability. Who can you talk freely with and who can you not let down? Number five, on the theme of failure is not an option, is I truly believe that focus is more important than intelligence. I wouldn't say focus is better than intelligence. I just say focus is more important than intelligence, because when you focus, you become smarter, right? I remember my son, Neil, who was 12 years old, and he started having the singularity of focus of learning the Rubik's Cube. And he never told me anything. And he just started watching videos. And he was so focused on it, so obsessed with it, that he figured out every single algorithm. Now, he can't do it in like 4 seconds, but he can solve any cube at any point in under a minute. And he actually got to the point where we bought every single cube of every single size and shape and configuration that was available on Amazon, like 13 or 14 different ones. And he can solve all of them, because as you focus, you become smarter, right? Because why? You research more. Because why? You see more patterns. Because why? You get good at that thing. If you are a real estate agent and you're talking to clients and you think that just because you've been in the business 20 years, you're good, I will tell you right now, you're not. The reason is that it's not that you're not good. It's just that the facts that you are, have originally worked with have changed. It's like you're driving down this highway back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and you understand this highway really well. But what has happened is we are now on a new highway. It gets to the same destination, but it's a completely new highway. And so you think you're good because you're getting to the same destination, but you're not, because your skill set is not as sharp as the one that's coming in today. So a lot of times I tell people, hey, if you think you're good, just imagine that you have to go up against me. Me, Sharon. If your competition, if you're an insurance salesperson and you had to go up against me, would you beat me with your skill? If you're a real estate agent and you had to go and compete for a listing or a buyer against me, would you beat me? If you are a coach or a consultant and you had to go up against me, would you beat me? If you were an entrepreneur and you had to build a business and you had to go up against me and I was your biggest competitor, would you beat me? Now, I say the would you beat me not from an egotistical place, not at all. I say that to give you a filter, a perspective to say, am I good enough? Do I have enough skill that I have focused more, I've researched more, I see patterns more, I've got such good at my craft that I can beat Sharon if he was the one against me on the other side of the table? Then you know that focus is more important than intelligence, right? Because here's the thing. Which leads me to number six, which is, I know this is a little woo-woo, but when you focus, the universe conspires in your favor. When you focus to say, hey, I'm doing this thing, the universe truly conspires in your favor. You put out that vibe that you really want to accomplish that thing. You enroll people in your cause. You talk about that thing all the time. You obsess with that thing every minute of every day. Everything that you share is related to that thing. Everything that you do is related to that thing. You research more. You see patterns. You get good at that thing. Because when you focus, the universe starts to conspire. And that's when it really, really gets fun. I gave you six things before I give you the seventh one. Number one, I told you about my friend William Branham and the idea of how he said failure was not an option when he accepted a mission. Number two, the idea of singularity of focus, where if you just focus on that one thing, it allows you to burn the boats. Number three, to intentionally remove distractions, which is the not-to-do list or the now and not now idea or the guarantee to fail list. Or number four, to have a support system and accountability system where, number one, you can talk to somebody freely without judgment. And number two, you have to have somebody that you say yes to that you can't let down. Number five, we know that focus is more important than intelligence, because when you focus, you become smarter. You research more, you see more patterns, you get good at that thing. Number six, little woo-woo, but when you focus, the universe conspires to support you, conspires to make you win, conspires to lift you up, conspires to bring the world in your favor, because when you focus, you vibrate in a completely different frequency. But last but not least, here's number 7. What does focus do? Focus drives a plan, right? Because when you focus, you're like, man, I got a plan to do this thing. But the plan drives activities. You're like, man, I got this plan, but I need to actually do these things. What are those activities? Well, the activities that you do expose a skill. So for example, if I'm focused on you know, call it making more money, cool, then I need some activities. My activities involve prospecting. Awesome. So I plan these prospecting activities. And then I get on the phone, maybe I'm prospecting, but I don't convert. What does that mean? The activities exposes my skill or my lack thereof. It's like I've door knocked 100 doors, I've cold called 20 people. Instead of telling the world that all those prospects suck, I have to now take responsibility because I'm telling you that the activities expose the skill and I don't have it. Skill is just knowing how to do the thing, because when you know how to do the thing, success is inevitable. Focus drives a plan drives activities, exposes a skill. Most people that have high egos will blame the activities and will never take responsibility for the skill. I want to give you one gift today, and this gift is this. When something doesn't work, ask yourself the question, is this a skill problem? Because if I had better skill, can I do better at this? If I had better skill, can I do better at this? And then just, it's all about upgrading that skill, because then failure is not an option, right? Here's my 7 ideas on how you can implement this theme of failure not being an option in your life. Number one is my lesson from retired Navy SEAL William Branham on the idea accepting the mission where failure is not an option. Number 2, the singularity of focus, where if you focus on the one thing and you can burn the boats. Number 3 is to intentionally remove distractions, maybe through a not-to-do list or a not-now idea or a guarantee-to-fail list, and doing the opposite. Number 4, having a support system and accountability system where you can talk on one side freely without judgment, and the other side, you know that you can't let somebody down. Number 5, focus is more important than intelligence, because when you focus, you become smarter, you research more, you see more patterns, you just get good at the thing. Number 6, when you focus, the universe conspires in your favor. It makes it, since you vibrate differently, it makes the world want to help you succeed. And number 7, focus drives a plan drives activities, but activities expose skill. I hope you can reduce the noise, reduce the tension, reduce the ego, to realize that the skill is what's going to help you achieve greatness. Skill is just knowing how to do the thing better. Because when you know how to do the thing, how to do something, how to do it well, success is truly inevitable. I hope this was helpful. And my request to you is, I have no idea whether you're going to like or subscribe or do any of that. 2 things. 1, if this was helpful, please share it with somebody. But most importantly, can you take a screenshot? Just take a screenshot right now. Take a picture if it's on your car, or take a screenshot on your phone, and just like upload it to social media. Just tag me and tell me whether you liked it, or share it. Because what it'll allow me to do is it'll allow me to know that you like this, so I can make more like this for you. But if not anything else, if you want to achieve something great, do this. Put in the theme of failure is not an option into your life. When you do that, some amazing conspiracy of the world happens, and you start to implement things that you've never actually thought about before. Because however you slice it, greatness is a choice, and choosing that failure is not an option is your unfair advantage. I hope this was helpful. Please take a screenshot, tag me, tell me you like this so I can make more like this for you, and I will catch you on the next one.
Hey, Sharon, I have a cool gift for you. Since you like this podcast, I actually have an ultra super secret private podcast that I make just for my partner companies and the CEOs and influencers that I advise. It's called 10K Wisdom because I try to wrap $10,000 worth of value in every single episode in just under 10 minutes. That's why it's called 10K Wisdom. It's raw, it's real, it's got no intro or outro or anything like that. It's just straight to the point and to the insights. Since you like this podcast, I think you will like that. So, for the first time, I'm making it available to you. Just go to 10kwisdom.com, the number 10kwisdom.com, and my team will activate it for you as my gift. Go to 10kwisdom.com. I'll see you there.